It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're going to wait for Mark to get here as Mark's just wrapping up a phone call. He's actually had a big case that he worked on earlier today about a cop walking into this house unwarranted, which is crazy. I can't wait to hear that recap on that. And Blue, he's suffering from a
sty in his eye, maybe. I mean, I don't know. It's pretty bad.
Dude, it's so bad, though, Craig.
I've had that before.
I've never had that. That was like there's a wart in his eye or something. Like, he got witchcraft. He was literally touching me, and I went, stop touching me. Like, it was that bad.
It's not.
Pitt's giggling. Pitt, did you see it, dog? Did you see how bad? He looked. And then when it happened, it's been like 3 days, right? So 2 days ago, I go, hey, dog, if Chelsea's hitting you, let me know. Like, you can come and stay at the house.
That might be what it is.
Because I think he's taking a couple to the eye like that.
It looks like it.
It's bad. Either way, it looked like he watched too many bullfrogs pee. Or
I told him he had to pee on it and put it in his eye. He's like, really?
Dude,
you should do that. He's going, really?
Craig.
I said, nah, I just made it up.
Swear to God, Craig.
I think he was going to do it.
The guy that went down to your office earlier, what's the farmer?
The chef.
The chef guy seen his eye.
And said, pee on it?
He said an old Italian remedy, whatever. His grandparents told him, pee in a cotton tab or a pad and put in his eye. I've never heard these.
Well, I've heard that before for like if you get stung by a jellyfish.
I heard that with a jellyfish, actually. And he said what was it that's in the pee? The what the hell is that term? The stuff that's in your pee.
Hydrochloric acid?
Hydrochloric acid, you're right. He said that's what's going to help clear the stuff up. Either way, he's got a sty. He's out of the way. We had a great time with everybody that we met at G4 Live.
It was a blast.
And, you know, just take our hats off to, you know, everybody there. Keith, Mara, your whole staff was great.
It was great for inaugural event. It was awesome.
We had a great time. So thank you once again. If you guys missed it, there's another one coming up. Stay tuned for that as well. But Craig, I know you got some great news. There's a lot of things been going down in cannabis.
We've got some news. Pew Research Center.
Pew like Poochie Pew?
P-E-W.
P-E-W. Not a pew with a P-H.
As
P-E-W.
More states continue to legalize marijuana, an overwhelming share of U.S. adults, 91% say either that marijuana should be legal for medical or recreational use.
You're saying this view, 91%
overall.
Of everyone they...
Now, they did break it down that it should be legal for medical and adult use. 60% of the people said that. And then 31% said it should be medical use only.
And it's crazy to think that Idaho, Nebraska, and Kansas still have their head in their ass after looking at what the people are voting, what the people are saying, what the majority of the country is.
I mean, the numbers.
And those three states have nothing to do with it.
The reverse number's crazy. It's fewer than 10% of U.S. adults say marijuana should not be legal at all. Only 10% say it should not be legal at all.
I really believe now, Craig, that the majority of people are seeing it for what it is, medicine. Ironically, random story. Friend of the family's, friends from the kids' school, this lady named Allison had a birthday party in Palm Springs, her quote-unquote 40th birthday party. She asked me to supply some cannabis stuff for their goodie bag that they put together. Mind you, these are, you know, 40-year-old plus family. I'm in the suburbs or deep South Orange County where a lot of them don't, you know, aren't going to ask me for something or this and that. But I made sure I got them all some products because it's so common and it's so normal and people want to put it in gift bags as they should.
Right. No, it's great. It's great. I mean, it's just insane that we still have that percentage of our population. And the federal government can't get their fucking shit together.
You said 10% agree.
Only 10% say it shouldn't be legal at all.
Only 10% of all people?
Of
all people that were in this.
Right. In the study.
10% of all people in a study. What study was that again?
It was the Pew Research Center.
P-E-W.
Yeah, so it was fewer than 10% of U.S. adults say marijuana should not be legal at all.
should not be legal at all. Right. Only 10% are saying put that shit away.
10% are saying it's devil weed and all that other bullshit. Only 10%.
That's huge, actually. That's good. That's huge good. Like, that's a huge low number.
90% of the people think it should be legal in one form or another.
Bottom line, that's what the other... when you say 10% say that, here's what you're really saying.
Right.
90%!
But it also sounds great to hear only 10% say they shouldn't have it at all. Why should they be the... Right now, they're in the majority. Right now, you know, at the federal level, those 10% are ruling the 90%. Because it's not legal at all at the federal level.
But I think it's really helping, like when you really look at it, because that number has gone down drastically from even, you know, your middle age, my younger age of the war on drugs. This is your brain on drugs. It's a fucking egg.
It consistently went from, you know, from 90 against to 94.
Extremely, I would agree with that. Maybe not 90 against, though. I would say 75. Yeah, a high 75. 75 is a lot.
Or people not willing to admit that they want it or use it.
I mean, they didn't have these researches back then of what you think of it so much, unless it was more closet and only maybe high times did something random and everybody was doing that was for it. But like doing a company like Pew Researchers, there are probably some random research company that sends some stuff out that want to get in the cannabis game, which I like. I like when, you know, ancillary companies get some real data like this. You know, do this. Do some stuff on cars and cannabis. Where you're asking random questions and then hit them with the cannabis one and see where it goes.
Yep, yep.
So it's good news.
Hey, further in news, Nevada. Nevada is actually moving along. They have a couple reform bills coming on, waiting for the governor's signature. They're finally going to okay cannabis cafes and lounges.
Which, you ready for this? I just got the call yesterday from the owner of Planet 13. And when I was on the phone.
Did we get that call from?
Larry.
Larry.
I talked to Larry. And Bob and Dave, who's the VP of marketing, were trying to set everything up to be at their spot when their grand opening
in Santa Ana.
In Santa Ana. So we had the dialogue yesterday.
Nice.
But wasn't it, Chris, that what we heard was they just got the approval for their big consumption lounge and literally just got it yesterday as today's June 3rd as we're recording
in
this.
In Vegas?
In Vegas. Was it, Chris?
Correct.
Yeah, so now they just got the green light, no pun intended, for theirs. And he was so ecstatic and so happy that they're going to be able to do exactly what you
said.
We're
going to have to check that place out one of these days.
I mean, I can't believe because we were so busy.
And when I go to Vegas,
it's the largest in the world that we haven't been there.
I usually don't leave the hotel.
Not only that, like, what were we thinking, you guys? Seriously. Like, we had time. We could have made time early in the morning. Granted, we should have been late to G4. To go to that place and see
realize that the second day I showed up at like 11 because that's when we start anyways.
Exactly.
We don't have to get there at 9.
You don't even need to bring it. Exactly. We get there early because we think we're going to. Exactly. Well, I get there early.
At least this Mark showed up and didn't sleep through it.
Well, Mark Wasserman showed up, but he left his voice in the room. But so there's a still different one there. Mark Carnes showed up later because he took a nap. So still both Marks, you know, there's situations there. Kobe showed up, and then Pitt was there too. So everybody thought Kobe was Pitt or Pitt was Kobe. The two brothers that are with us, they get called both names. Actually, who are we kidding? Kobe got called Pitt. There was nobody calling Pitt Kobe.
You know, we have some other news, scientific-wise. We've got oral THC administration is associated with pain mitigation in elderly patients. Nearly 6 out of 10 subjects reported improvements in their symptoms, with 22% of patients reporting that their condition was notably improved.
That, to me, is a 100% truth for my own personal anecdotal evidence, meaning I have had 2 hip surgeries, I have a bad ankle, and when they get inflamed because the arthritis kicks in, which then correlates to the older demographic that you're referring to, which is a lot of arthritic pains, as you may have as well, Craig. I don't know if you have arthritic pain, but you smoke a lot of cannabis. So I really do, like all bullshit
actually,
aside.
Actually, I got to go, Joe. My neck hurts.
Well, come here. Put your neck right here on your head. But my point is, when I'm using the oral CBD with a low, low dose of some THC in it when I'm in real pain, like that's where I dabble, quote unquote.
Well you know
it
what?
It really helps.
I mean, there's further research that's concluding in the absence of clear evidence-based treatments for these symptoms, we're talking about dementia patients. Use of CBD may be useful in improving symptoms among these patients.
Clarify dementia again for me. My mind's having a brain fart.
Dementia, that's when you just...
You just forget?
When you're doing what you're doing now.
Well, and I'm not trying to even be funny.
Who
but
are you?
So that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking dementia from dyslexia. So dementia is
no,
more
dementia's
of a...
bad. Yeah, dementia is when, like, you know, the old folks, and it can happen to anybody, but usually in old, elderly people.
Don't remember
they
exactly.
Don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on around them.
That's the dementia, right? My neighbor had that growing up as a kid. I remember this guy, Frank, and his wife, Stella. She had it actually real bad. She walked out front, crossed the street and was like, "Where am I?" I'm like, "Your house across the street. What you mean?"
Right.
So that's dementia, right?
No, it's
right?
brutal. It's brutal. And it's
it really is brutal.
And researchers
Sad,
are saying
Scary.
That, you know, CBD is useful in treating those symptoms, improving it so they're not as forgetful. Because people think if you smoke weed, and now they are talking about CBD, which has the 0.3% or less of THC in it, but I think it's a fallacy that if you smoke a lot of weed, you don't remember. I don't know where that came from.
I think I know where it came from. Well, no,
it came from the movies. Where
you and we go to this, and you deny this. You deny this reality. Where I've seen
What'd
this reality
say?
Of somebody, and you know, and I love your answer to it though, Craig. And you say no, that person is just dumb or stupid.
What's your name?
Which is no, not that. Which is, you know, you've seen your buddy get high, and our girlfriend or whatever, and they get all pendeja, like a pendejo. They're like, "Huh? Who? What do you mean? I'm a dummy. Who?
Yeah,
oh,
but
I
how many times are you not high that you walk into a room?
Don't get me wrong, Craig. I walk into a room and go,
"What the fuck did I walk in here for?"
Not too many for myself.
Or you
but
got your keys in your left hand. You're looking for your fucking keys.
All I can
Where
say
are my fucking keys?
Is
right. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Thank
where's
you.
It, where's his glasses at? Oh, on his nose. Yeah, I get
and
it.
We have some further before we
let's
get out.
Go to no. Let's get to that later. Let's go okay. break. Your brother's gonna come in. I want to hear about this. He was in court
I don't
earlier.
Hear about him.
I mean, it was
30, no. I actually talked to him. It's gonna be a great story.
Yeah, 30 pounds of cannabis, and somebody got busted with it. We'll see where this goes. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue Joe Grande and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pop Brothers at Law. I mean, I can't wait to get into whatever story you got because you're all fidgety like we're in Vegas right now, but I think you're finally going to finish the sentence and you're going to actually give us some real input.
I've seen him in OKC.
Was he normal or was he still fidgety? He was still fidgety.
I was on fire.
So he's been fidgety, folks, for a while, but you know what? Mark has something good for us. What do you got there, Mark?
I do. I got, you know, when cannabis goes bad, but it might go good. We'll see. We are revisiting a case that we took on over a year and a half ago. And, you know, thanks to COVID and court shutdowns, it's been really stretched out. And to give a little recap, we are representing a gentleman who was renting an Airbnb out of the city of Alhambra here in California and minding his own business. And all of a sudden, he's in his kitchen in his underwear in this Airbnb, and the back door opens up and a cop walks right in and says, "Hey, show me your hands." And that then led to the cops finding, I don't know, 30, 40 pounds of cannabis in the house.
Oops.
And an arrest was made. And then he came and talked to us. And when he told me about this, I said, "It sounds really weird because he didn't have a warrant. The cop didn't knock and announce, just walked right in."
And how much did he find again?
About 30 pounds. And so we take the case, we go to the arraignment, plead not guilty, and we get all the evidence, the police report, and everything else that they have that they're going to prosecute with. And we go through this police report, and it says that the next door neighbor, saw a black man on the porch of the house.
It says that exact words, a black man?
Yes.
On the report?
Yeah. It's a transcript from it was audio video, the conversation the cop had, and the 911 call that the neighbor made. "I see a strange black man on the porch next door to me. That house is supposed to be vacant. I think it's supposed to be vacant. I don't know who that is." Cop comes, talks to the neighbor, tells him the same thing. And then he said, yeah, and then a car came, and that guy got in it and drove off.
Craig, before he continues, how many times have you called the cops because of a strange black man?
Let's see. There was that. No, never.
Exactly. And not only including the time when a strange black man was literally inside your house when you went walking out when your son had some random homies that were like some rapper dude. I remember that story where you're like, hey, Jared, at least can you tell when you're going to have some folks over the house?
I believe at that time it was.
You remember that story?
I remember.
One of them for sure was Metro Boomin.
Yeah, some rappers, right? You're just like walking down the house in your skivvies.
Well, my son, I didn't even know it was my son. I had my gun out.
Who's this crazy white boy over there with these brothers?
Dude,
I'm shooting all three of you.
They had to pee on their way home, and they couldn't wait, so they used the bathroom.
I'm sorry to interrupt your story. I just thought of your brother when you were telling it as I think of somebody calling the cops on a random black guy that's out there. I mean, who does that? How do you say that? There's a random black guy. There's a random Mexican. There's these random. That's just such a. This is where we live, folks.
Well,
welcome to America.
And this,
America.
This call leads to the cop coming, going to the front of the house, and this is in his report. Going to the front of the house, didn't see anything, goes to the back of the house, and
no sign of forced entry.
And may I just add to the listeners out there, if you're one of these that, you know, you may be a Karen and you may call and teach their own, I just want to give you my input and advice. Walk over and say hello. When you see something that you feel is a little peculiar, maybe you go and say hi. How you doing? What's going on today? You new to the neighborhood? Anything I can help you with around here? Instead of accusing and assuming, maybe they are random and wrong. Maybe. But don't just call the cops. Ask, hey, what's up? It's your fucking somebody right outside your house. Folks, there's nothing wrong with a little dialogue. Sorry, I just wanted to get that disclaimer out there.
It's good because people need to
know how to handle a situation. People think, oh, I think I'm just going to call the cops. Why? Because there's Mexicans. Because there's blacks.
And
no,
then, and then
go say hello.
Somebody's
and
life.
He was probably looking at birds.
Gets disrupted.
Exactly. In New York. Good point, Craig.
Somebody's life gets disrupted and disturbed when it never should have. And so this cop took it upon himself to go to the back door, turn the knob, it was unlocked, and open it and walk right in.
And that's okay?
Walk
Isn't that
right
illegal?
In.
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out because...
But doesn't it have to be?
No, here's how it works. So right then and there, he walked in, our client was there, half naked in his underwear, like, what the... And they come in, they go a little further, they see all the cannabis, and then they detain him and ultimately arrest him. And then they get a warrant to search the rest of the house where they find, you know, more cannabis. But we were attacking this initial entry. Like, you went in there without a warrant, without knocking and announcing, and within the police report, there's nothing that illustrates what's known as an exigent circumstance, which is an emergency.
Exigent means emergency.
I don't need a warrant because I heard somebody screaming and yelling, and I got to get in that house.
I heard help. I heard fire. I heard whatever.
Right. Or even
broken glass.
I saw
maybe?
Broken glass. I heard signs of a burglary.
So probable cause because I seen this. I seen gunshell. Whatever. You write down.
Everything looked normal.
None of this is in the police report. It's just he went to the back, opened the door, walked in. So we filed our motion almost a year ago, but you know now it finally got heard. And I got to cross-examine the officer who, when the prosecutor did their examination to elicit why he did what he did, he said that in that area, Alhambra, right by the freeway, there's a lot of burglaries.
Alhambra off the 10?
Uh-huh, yes, sir.
Okay.
There's a lot.
That's a lot of Asian. That's a big Asian community.
There's a lot of burglaries that happen. High crime area. And that's why he felt he needed to go in. Because
did he have any stats to back that up?
No, of course not. And then while he was talking to the neighbor who said, I don't know this guy. This house is supposed to be vacant. And that was enough for him, he felt, to go in.
You know, Abel that works with us lives in Alhambra.
So maybe you know these officers if you've encountered them. So I got to cross-examine. So when I started, I asked him, one of the questions I asked him was, would it have been different if it was a white man standing
there?
I went right to it.
Did he cross-eye you like, you mother effer?
Well, he started, like Patrick was there, our associate, and he was saying, you know, he started stuttering a lot when you were examining him.
Is it okay if Patrick's, even one of your, you know, lawyers goes like, after you ask a question like this, can he go from the side going,
Damn! I wouldn't recommend it.
How great would that be if, like, some of your guys is on drugs? That motherfucker! Ooh, ooh, ooh. How
then,
great would that be?
Then, as I was asking him, I asked him a whole slew of questions.
Hold on, what was his answer? If it was a white man, what did he say?
He said, I would have suspected the same thing. I said, okay, thank you. Now, were there any...
Did you hit him with the, would you?
Well, so wait, I'll get to that. Me and I had with the judge a couple moments because I was pissed.
Wait, you didn't give your opening statement, what you said to the judge.
No, no,
isn't
no.
Isn't that the opening statement?
Yeah, but we didn't do an opening statement. The judge wanted to get right to questioning, so I used that in the closing.
Oh, okay, my bad.
And I'll repeat that. But when I started cross-examining him about what was the emergency? What, you know, did you see broken glass? No. Was there the door jimmied open? No. Were there any signs of any kind of burglary? Was there any evidence that a crime, you know, what else was there besides what this neighbor told you? And there was nothing else other than high crime area. And yeah, you know, there's lots of
favorite.
There's lots of Crips and rolling whatever the gang members. And I go, oh, so a black man is a gang member? So because it was a black man, he's a gang member. No, I didn't say that. Well, you just brought up that there's gangs in the area and we're dealing with the neighbor who saw a black person. You associate that automatically? Objection.
Who? Oh, there.
The prosecutor objection. And the judge overruled. And I will note this. I objected like mad and most of my objections were getting sustained.
That means upheld.
Correct.
That means they understood and said,
I mean, the judge said you don't have to answer that question to the witness.
Like when they.
Thank you for bringing that down for us dummies out there.
When they were asking the cop, trying to get information out of him that would assumingly try to help them, objection, calls for speculation, calls for hearsay, lacks foundation, whatever the objection was. And something that I note, and judges do this sometimes, maybe she liked me, I don't know, but I objected, overruled. On that objection, counselor. Oh, I object on this.
Yeah, overruled.
That's definitely a good sign. You're feeling like, okay, you got my...
That wasn't the right
keep
one.
Keep trying.
That wasn't the right one. There's one out there that wasn't
keep
the
swinging,
right one.
Keep swinging, buddy. Keep swinging, slugger. You're going to get it.
And that happened a couple times. I was like, oh, cool. So that was going on. And when I was questioning the officer about the emergency and really harping on this guy was black, was... The person who was in front of the door that the neighbor saw, was that even the same person you found in the house?
Ooh.
I don't know. He didn't know. And I said, oh, so we have the neighbor who's saying, I see a strange black man on the porch. And then you decide to just bust into the house without any authority.
It's like picking straws. Here's the black man.
And now, you know, and then you confirm that he is staying there with the B&B. You called the owner of the property.
This is good, Mark. Are you a lawyer?
I kind of am sometimes.
You're better than your brother now.
When I'm not sitting here next to you. But man, as I was going through every little detail, and then I was done.
But how do they respond to that? I mean, those are great.
There's no responses.
I know. That's what I'm saying. When you say that, you almost make somebody feel like this.
Yeah.
They just fall down in their chair. Like,
and the judge.
Well, you're right. And the judge got to look at the person like, he's kind of right. What are you doing?
And
how do you got proof of any of this?
And when I said, you know, several times, if it wasn't a black man, would you have gone in that house? Yeah, I still would have. But, you know, it's like, really, you know, you say that because you know he's not. Telling the truth.
I mean, he's got to answer that way, right?
You know? So, and this is a guy who had 15 years of experience as a cop and all that good stuff. So when I was done, prosecution was done, we're all done with our questioning. Now the judge said, my turn. And she asked a whole slew of questions and in my mind...
Towards the cop or to you or to who?
No, to the cop. Yeah.
Oh, she asked the questions.
Oh, yeah.
The judge can do that if they please. The
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's got to be a good sign for you guys when that happens, right?
Well, the questions...
Goes both ways.
The questions the judge was asking, to me, and I can only hope, is that she's taking this very seriously. It is a very serious case.
She was a female, correct? African-American?
It's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I remember you saying that.
And she was taking notes... every detail, and asking him when he first walked in. See, because when he first walked in, he sees the client standing there in his underwear in the kitchen. What did you say to him?
She asked that?
Yeah, yeah. And he goes, well, I don't remember. And she goes, well, did you say hi, hello, or how are you?
That's a good
and
one.
And he goes, he laughed. He goes, nah, I think I probably said, you know, show me your hands. And she goes, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then.
Does it, though?
And then,
it
hold on.
Does.
Hold on.
No, it doesn't. You can't just come into my house and say, show me your hands.
No, but he's not going to walk into a house if he doesn't think a crime is being committed. So he's only going in there because he thinks a crime being committed. So if he sees someone, he's going to say, fucking put your hands up.
So then.
True, but if I own the house or I'm staying at the house.
No, you don't know that.
But yeah, I get what you're saying from his standpoint, but.
So then
he should be saying shit is what he should be saying. So he should be saying, sorry, I came in.
When did you see the cannabis in the house, which was behind a wall? So he had to go a few more feet in, which she was, to me, she's establishing in her for herself that this guy came in, saw a guy in the kitchen, detained him, started questioning him, found out, yeah, I'm staying at this Airbnb. You called the owner. You called my girlfriend who rented it.
No
you,
need to look around
got
the house.
All
no
this
PC
stuff.
To look at
get the fuck out.
Why are we still here?
Yeah.
You know, that's so she was eliciting all that. And so then she was all done. And she asked, you know, any closing remarks? I said, yes. And I said, I got up. I stood up. I said, Your Honor, this is a very important case with what's going on in America today. And the way the police are abusing their powers, this case, if you deny our motion, then it only means that being black standing on a porch is enough for a cop to just go into a house. Thank you, Your Honor. That was it.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Mr. Mark Wasserman.
Now I will say this, another odd thing or notable thing. I've been doing these 26 years, and usually the judge will either rule right there, or I'm taking it under submission, you'll get notice in the mail. She set a date of July 1st to come back to hear the ruling.
Yeah, that's very...
It would have been dope if she picked June 13th, player, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? For those who know, that's Juneteenth! Okay,
But it's July 1st, and I've never had that happen. Like, come back and you'll hear the ruling, so...
What does that mean? Break that down, because I don't understand that as much.
Usually when you're done, make it make sense. The judge from the bench will say, I rule in favor of you or you.
Right then and there.
Done. Or the judge says, I'll take it under submission, meaning I'm not going to rule right this minute. I'm going to go back to my chambers. I'm going to look at the evidence. He or she may do some research on the law, and then they'll type up an opinion making their decision and send it out by the mail. It's usually those two things.
So now, and now what happened?
She set a hearing for them to come back so she can tell them in person.
What does your experience say that means?
I have no idea.
Never happened before.
It's never happened.
I've never had that happen before. I'd have to talk to some other attorneys I know and see if it's happened to them, but that's never happened. You know, maybe because of the weight of it and like I said, how serious it is.
That being said, it's never happened to you guys?
Right. For us.
Have you heard it happen in your experience in your 30-some years?
Not to come back to hear the ruling.
No.
That's what I'm saying. So you don't have a gut feeling of what, you know, what your experience or what anything you think
is? You can't.
Is?
You can't. I mean,
sometimes if they're on your side during the hearing, they fuck you at the end.
And you kind of feel like she is on your side, but you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with some of the rulings she made on the objections and the way she was taking the copious notes.
Do you think she felt like, well, the dude did have 30 pounds?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't, I agree, but it did have 30 pounds.
I don't think this judge would care.
Well, here, and let me...
And not only that, you found it wrongly. I mean, that's bottom line, right. You found it wrongly.
Right.
That's my personal 30 pounds or whatever I'm doing with that 30 pounds, you know what I mean? Mind your own.
Well, and
I could have 300 bottles of fucking Jack Daniels in there, and you ain't gonna flip an eyelid on me.
Yeah, then it'll be okay.
I mean, that's what you have at your house.
I told the judge when the prosecutor started doing all these questions with regards to all the rest of the cannabis, everything that happened after he entered. You know, I said, Your Honor, this is really irrelevant to our motion. We just care about the moment he walked in that door. I'm just putting that out there, you know, but. Whatever you want to do.
Well, that's the Wasserman's going for another save. And that being said, it is now time to say it's dime time, folks. Dime Industries, if you're looking for a good little something-something, go get yourself some dime. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this.
take a hit, get lit, and sit back. It's Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, Mark and Craig, the Pop Brothers at Law.
Wow, mijo, look at you.
Growing up.
How did you, you know what? I swear to God, there's no way you're going to do that in my head. I am thoroughly shocked right now. Matter of fact, dime time, that's what it is. Official dime time, because he must have took a hit and he got quit.
I did.
That's what dime time does for you folks.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Thank you. Connector as well. Make sure you check out Connector and Cali FX, some of our great sponsors. We love you guys. Great news earlier with that, so many good studies and this and that, and I can't believe Mark had to leave so quickly, but that story was freaking amazing. And
right?
To top off that story, Craig, before your brother went to court that morning, I think it was this morning, whatever it was, the other morning, he calls me and goes, Joe, I might be like my brother and get in contempt of court. Like, he prepped me to, like, warn me. I might not be around. What happens when you guys get so fired up and defend your your clients, and they put you in contempt of court?
Well,
what exactly happens?
I mean, you could actually go sit in jail.
How long?
Depends, up to the judge. He can make you sit there for a night, for an hour.
How
make you pay a fine.
How many times have you been shut up for contempt of court? Like,
one time.
Only one?
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean,
I would think more with you.
It's more disrespecting the court than getting fired up about your client. Because the court will give you a lot of leeway when you're fired up about your client, defending your client, you know, vigorously defending him and engaging with the other side. It's when you disrespect the court.
Give me an example of disrespecting the court.
I'll give you the example when I was a young attorney.
How about your example? There we go. Perfect.
Oh, it's a great one. When I was a young attorney, I worked for a firm, and I was, you know, I worked in a division of the firm where we defended bullshit personal injury cases.
Okay.
And we represented Thrifty Oil Company. It used to be Thrifty Gas Stations. And we represented, they were self-insured. So when you have a self-insured as opposed to an insurance company defending the case, the self-insured money's coming out of their pocket. When you have an insurance company, like Joe, you get sued for hitting someone with your car, you have Farmers.
AAA,
whatever. That's an insurance company. You pay them premiums to cover you, and they charge you premiums to cover you and pay out claims on your behalf. So insurance companies, this is kind of a off the subject a little bit, but they're
I thank you for clarifying.
They're set up to pay claims.
Right.
That's why a lot of personal injury attorneys are so successful. Because insurance
companies, they're getting that percentage from that claim.
Well, yeah, but the insurance companies might fight you, but ultimately, 9 times out of 10, they're going to pay you, because I learned this from my mentor doing that work 30 years ago. If the insurance company didn't pay out claims, then they couldn't charge you the premiums they charge you.
Oh, so they have to pay.
They have actuaries
that
say, based
like
on this and that, we're going to pay out X amount in claims next year, and we're going to base your premium on that. So if they don't pay out those claims, they can't charge you the higher premiums.
Okay,
so while
sense.
They fight and say, we're not going to pay you and fuck you around and do all this bullshit, at the end of the day, they're going to pay you.
So what happened in your scenario?
So self-insured, it's coming out of their own pocket, not an insurance company. So a guy was at a gas station, picked up the nozzle. The nozzle came apart from the hose, and he got gas on him. So he filed a lawsuit.
Against the gas station?
Against the gas station. I represented the gas station.
Did he get hurt?
Well, we didn't believe so.
Oh, so you're defending the gas company.
I'm representing
company.
The gas station. Yeah, right. I was doing defense
okay.
work
okay.
before I did. I've done
Because I'm almost thinking, going, what the fuck did you do? What happened?
I've done both sides. So he starts alleging that he got it in his eyes and all over his face and all over his body. And he sued us for, like, it was like 10, 15 grand at the time. This is a long time ago. Like, probably.
That's still not that much money,
though. Probably
30
years ago.
That's still not a lot of money, though.
But we didn't care. We weren't going to give him a dime. Because a lot of times, insurance companies, you know, if the case maybe would have been worth 20, they'll give you $1,000. They'll give you a couple grand cost of defense.
Okay.
It's going to cost us that much to do it. Here's your $3,000. Be done. None. We weren't going to give them a dime. They could have said, give us $500. We said, no. Dismiss
that
the
was the mentality
dismiss
going
the
case,
into this case. Or we're going to trial.
Okay.
Hard ass. That's how
oh,
I came
Oh, so this
up.
Is pre-trial. This is
No, this is in front of the judge. So We get in front of the judge to go to trial.
Kind of like what your brother was earlier, what the story he said in front of the judge.
Right. So we're in front of the judge. And I had, through discovery, which is the process of a lawsuit where you get documents, you say you got hurt, I want your medical records. You say
all
you
your
missed
medical
work,
records,
I want your wage and hour earnings. So through the course of discovery, I got a medical report, one-page medical report from the clinic. And in the report, it said, gas spill, none in eyes, none in mouth.
Ooh.
So I had it blown up poster size. So
no,
I have this,
you didn't.
I have this poster size medical record.
You're that guy, huh? You're that lawyer.
That I'm like, I mean, I was young. I was super young at the time, and I was aggressive, and they put me in a unit in the firm that, you know, the other unit would, you know, okay, we're going to settle for a couple grand. We'll get rid of it, cost of defense. I was in this other unit that it was called a special investigation unit where we didn't settle. Our motto was, if we owe it, we'll pay it. If you really got hurt, you really got damaged, we're going to pay you a fair amount. If you didn't, we're not giving you a dime. So we go in front of the judge, and the judge is asking, can you settle it? This is right before trial. And I'm, Your Honor, we can't. Judge is like, why not? Did you discuss with the other side? I said, unless they dismiss the case, we're not going to settle. Didn't they teach you, this is the judge, didn't they teach you anything in law school about trying to settle cases? She's like yelling at me. And I've
were
got,
you offended?
And I've got a senior partner. This is my first trial.
Oh,
I've got
no.
a senior partner sitting behind me, like, you know, overseeing it. And I'm like, I didn't say anything. And the judge finally goes, you know what? I want you on the other side to go out in the hallway and talk and try to come to a settlement. Don't they teach you how to settle cases, blah, 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 blah.
And you're pissed now that she's calling you out.
So
like
this is where the disrespect comes in. So we start walking out. The other side walks out in front of me. I'm halfway to the doors of the courtroom to go out to the hallway. And I turn around and I say, Your Honor, how long should I stand in the hallway before I come back?
Oh, my God. And what is she? Is it a woman?
Yeah.
What
oh,
did
yeah.
She say?
Hard-ass one at the time.
What did she
up
say?
In Fullerton North Court. You're in contempt. Come see me after you get back from the hallway.
Oh, that's like fucking get to the principal's office, right? So, after you go to PE class, get your ass over to fucking Principal Dawson's office.
So we go outside. The partner comes out. He loves what I did, but he's like, fuck. So he ends up calling.
You're putting us on a radar
so
now.
So he ends up calling the client. We got $500 to settle the case.
You did not.
Yeah.
From 15 grand to 500.
We got 500. But remember, we weren't going to give him 500. We were going to give him a dime.
But who's the guy that tries to sue for 15? The 15 racks, right?
So the partner.
I'll take 500 and your lawyer's taking 40% of that anyways.
So the partner calls the client, explains what's going on. We should at least offer $500. So when we come back in, we go back to her chambers. And thankfully, I was able to get out that we had agreed on a $500 settlement. And the contempt thing never came up again.
Oh, my God.
But if I had come back in without settling the case.
Did the judge remind you? Like, hey, asshole, watch your mouth next time.
No, she didn't. Actually, she didn't. So, try to settle this case. I'm sorry.
Well, these are stories from the Wassermans. If you ever want to get a hold of them, Craig, what's your guys' number at the office?
855-WASS-LAW.
That's 855-WASS-LAW. I love these stories. As a matter of fact, I can go through them all the time. And even when I've heard them before, they're still like
I've got
first.
Some good ones. Maybe next time I'll tell a couple more.
And maybe, hold on. Has your brother ever got contempt?
I don't believe so.
So you got to be an asshole to do
it. No, he's gotten in cross-examination to, well, he withdrew a question before he actually maybe have gotten in contempt when he called a cop a liar on the stand in one of my son's cases.
But was the cop lying?
Absolutely.
So you can't do that?
No.
Hold on. What about the? Okay, so from what I'm hearing, you can't call the cop a liar, but if Pitt was on the fucking stand, could I say you're a liar? Because it's Pitt rather than a cop?
It depends how you put it. It really depends on the...
You're a liar. You're lying, Pitt. I did not take your bag.
Pitt can say... No, I don't know. I don't know what the judge would do.
My point is it only because it's a cop it was, or can it be just a normal man? Or better yet, if it's a black man, that's even more important.
To be honest, right, at this minute, I can't recall. It's in the context of what was going on.
But the person that was being...
Isn't it true you're lying? That's okay. But in the, and we'll have to, you know what, make a note. We'll talk about it next time Mark is back, because it was in the context of how he said it to the cop in the course of examining him is what the judge wouldn't have liked.
Well, we will. And you know what? I was about to go green with some stories, but I'll start another podcast and we'll go talk about some other things. It's Cannabis Talk 101. Thank you guys for joining us. And we want to thank Terpene Warehouse and, of course, Dime Time. When it's time, it's Dime Time, folks. It's Cannabis Talk 101. Craig, if nobody else loves you,
we do.
Bam!
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.